Previously on Compassion Radio.
In the early years, it felt like you were just plowing really dry, hard soil. You know, we would do summer camps, and if we had one kid put his faith in Christ, we were over the moon. And now we're doing over 120 week-long camps in the summer, and it's between 10 and 20% of those unbelievers at camp are putting their faith in Christ.
That's beautiful.
That's revival to me.
Yes, it is.
That's unbelievable.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Tracking the triumph of God in a world where the struggle is real. Welcome to today's edition of Compassion Radio. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33 reads, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We can indeed take comfort in those words of our Lord Jesus. Today's guests have been doing just that in their intrepid work of promoting the gospel of Christ in Eastern Europe, laboring in a ministry that's doing all it can to stem the tide of, get this, Western culture. Here's Bram Floria, who joins up again today with his wife, Sandy, to get our conversation started.
Mel, Amy, welcome back to Compassion Radio today.
Thank you.
We're glad to be back.
Yesterday, we started a great talk about the current work of Josiah Venture in Eastern Europe. Now, Josiah Venture is a missions organization that is fairly new to Americans, but coming up fast because of the outsized influence and impact it has. Now, it's not outsized because they're doing something extraordinary in themselves. What I've seen Josiah Venture do, and we talked about this a bit yesterday, was stay faithful in dry years and stay at the till. Mm-hmm. They worked the soil to prepare for the revival that God was going to bring. You really believed God was going to bring to Eastern Europe and build out of Eastern Europe a missions-sending culture. That from these people would come the next wave of great missions, just like in the early years of the Moravian movement, which is where you are. So we're going to talk a bit about that. I just want to say to our listeners again, if you know nothing about Josiah Venture, please check our website out. We'll have links there in the podcast to find out what Mel and Amy are doing. But let's talk about that. How many people do you have working within the organization?
Right now, we are a staff of around 350 full-time workers in 13 Central and Eastern European countries.
So over all of that vast area, you've got these dozens or ones or twos that are helping churches. And you are, as you said yesterday, a very pro-church organization, not a parachurch. You're not in competition. You're not trying to redefine what worship is. You're trying to find ways to equip the church to do its work as effectively as possible, specifically focused on the youth so you can capture them young, when they're healthy, when they're vigorous, when they're ready to do dangerous things for the gospel.
Right.
Yeah. Our mission is to equip young leaders to fulfill Christ's commission through the local church.
And in doing that, you found yourself not just in the local church, but got invited by the government of the Czech Republic itself to move into what you call the exit program in the schools, actually dealing with every major social issue that we face in the West these days, from divorce to drug addiction to prostitution to all kinds of things that could be preying on young people.
Totally.
Right.
And it's been an effective work.
Oh, it's amazing. That's just one of the ministries that we do in Josiah Venture.
I hadn't really thought about a culture like the Czech Republic being steeped in that kind of imagery when, as you said, it's a very atheistic part of Europe. So that series then led to live presentations and access within the schools itself. Was it because the government themselves were watching your shows and saying, well, this is interesting and new? What was it that triggered them to say, you need to get closer to our people?
That's a good question. I think the government, they wanted to make available more options for their viewers. And so one of them was something about religion. When they asked around, our organization was the one that was most focused and had the furthest reach for young people. And so they just came and said, hey, bring us some proposal. We don't care what it is. So I think they were just trying to fill slots. But once they saw what we were doing, they liked it and it was getting a following. So there were thousands and thousands of people watching this every week. That's been one of the really interesting things. Something like a TV show like that. And I think over the 2 years, there's quite a few millions of viewings. All you have to do is get the trajectory of the culture just to change a tiny bit. Mm-hmm. And then over the years, we're talking miles and miles apart from where they used to be. Yeah. I think that's part of why the spiritual hunger and the openness to Christianity is where it's at right now. Mm-hmm. I just think the trajectory is in line with saying, whoa, there's something about us knowing who God is.
For years, there was a great deal of skepticism and mistrust of anything religious. And I think now that's really disappeared. Mm-hmm. The students are mistrustful. They're hungry and they're searching for something and they're finding it.
Well, like they're discovering the hunger they didn't even know they had.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Okay.
So I think about the idea of Chronos and Kairos. And Norm taught about this for a number of years in our program, that God prepares us slowly to confront us suddenly. And it seems to me like Josiah Venture has been very faithfully working in the garden, plowing the fields, tending the vineyards all these decades. And then suddenly the fruit pops. Yep. And then the whole world comes to you because you're the people that are there because God placed you there and you were very patient with that. And I want to say there are probably dozens and dozens of workers with you that labored with you during all of the dry times that maybe are not there now. I want to honor them.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, yeah.
I do want to say as missionaries on the field, Amy and I and our staff have had to really keep check on our hearts and our posture toward the gospel and toward people here, because in the early years, it felt like you were just plowing really dry, hard soil. You know, we would do summer camps, and if we had one kid put his faith in Christ, we were over the moon. And now we're doing over 120 week-long camps in the summer. Over 6,000 people, half of them are unbelievers. And it's between 10 and 20% of those unbelievers at camp are putting their faith in Christ.
That's beautiful.
That's revival to me.
Yes, it is.
That's unbelievable. One of the things that we've had to go back to is just saying, it used to be that way, but clearly presenting the gospel and giving people the opportunity right now to respond, they're actually taking us up on that. It used to be a student, it would take them 2 to 3 years because they want to read the Bible 3 times. And it would take a really long time for that process to happen. But like you said, Bram, it's like all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is just making people ready. The harvest is white, white, white.
What you're saying is about a cycle of revival in my mind. And it goes back to the very roots of the revival that has affected the entire Western world. Yep. Our nation exists here in America because of the revival that God played out in the very place where you sit.
We also have a really effective evangelistic tool in camps. Mm-hmm. We do sports camps, language camps, and music camps in the summer. This last summer, we did over 120 week-long camps with local churches. And one of the things that I love best is we partner with North American youth groups. And we partner them with national churches and youth groups here in Central and Eastern Europe to do these camps. So last year we had over 1,100 volunteers come from the States.
Oh, wow.
During the summer.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to see that continue growing. So folks, if you're hearing this program for the first time, just learning about Josiah Venture, please check out the links on our website at CompassionRadio.com. Okay, I want to circle back around again and talk about the historicity of all this. There was a man that the Holy Spirit got a hold of named Christian David, and from him came the greatest awakening that we know of in modern history of the gospel across the Western world. Tell me just a little bit about him and where he sits in relation to you, where you are.
Christian David grew up only 30 miles from where we live now. He came under significant persecution and formed a community of people, found a place under Count Zinzendorf where they could find safe haven. They moved there. Over half of the village that he grew up in trusted Christ and moved because of persecution. And we know what persecution does. It spurs revival.
Yes, it does.
And several times revival broke out in this little community, but one of those times that took the community even deeper into their faith was a time when they decided to commit to prayer because they knew prayer was what would make an impact on their world. They started not only praying 24/7, they started a prayer chain that ended up lasting unbroken for 100 years.
Wow.
And had really fueled, I would say, the missions movement. These people sold themselves into slavery in Africa in order to bring the gospel to people.
Hold for a second there. The missionaries themselves sold themselves into slavery in order to bring the gospel to where?
To Africa. They went all over the world. India, Tibet, Africa, Russia,
America.
The States.
Okay, so these missionaries are doing extraordinary things that seem ridiculous to us now, but God was using it. During that time, the entire Great Awakening was being born in the West through Charles Wesley and the circuit rider preachers that were hitting America at the time. You're saying that during that time, this prayer chain was unbroken.
Right.
Yeah, and actually, there's something super important about Charles Wesley. He was in a Moravian Bible study in London where he and his brother came to Christ. They were highly influenced by the Moravians. That's where we get the whole Great Awakening and everything. Right. And you just see this effect of people that are faithful, that are obedient to Christ, that are willing to
die,
to lay their life out for him. And you're just seeing the fruit of this.
Lord, please send your workers to the field. We'll get right back to the interview in just a moment. March is always a special time of year for us, since we'll soon be celebrating our 73rd anniversary of radio ministry. This month, would you consider blessing us with a special anniversary gift of $25, $50, even $73 or more? Remember, no gift is too small or too large for that matter. And if each of us does just a small part, God can truly multiply these gifts in amazing ways. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. And you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com.
You just see this effect of people that are faithful, that are obedient to Christ, that are willing
to die,
to lay their life out for him. And you're just seeing the fruit of this. And one of the things that for us in Josiah Venture, when we're looking at the Moravians and that it was birthed right out of the Czech Republic, where now it's one of the most atheistic nations in the world, the Moravians decided that they would pray together, and they put a prayer chain together where two people would pray every hour around the clock. And they did that unbroken for 100 years.
And that prayer tower still exists, correct?
Yeah, it still stands in Herrenhut, Germany.
Which was the site of where this little band of 280 exiles moved to in order to find sanctuary. And then from that birthed this movement where many, many missionaries came out of this group.
I want to just remind our listeners right now that one of the reasons that Christian David was persecuted directly was because he had the temerity to actually read the Word of God.
Yeah,
and it
exactly.
was no longer just a one-off where the government said, this is what God says. He actually went to the book himself. And as he read the book, he discovered that everybody in this book was praying. And because of that, he decided to become like them and began this prayer movement. So he discovered two incredible things, the Word of God and prayer. And in that, his faith came to real life. And we see that even today, that they're the core values for us as Compassion Radio. We want to get the Word of God into as many hands as possible. And we want people praying and going and doing the very things that we say we believe. So our hearts sing with this truth and this example of Christian David and what he did in your own backyard. So tell me how that has played itself forward into your organization and how you just rediscovered that history.
I think one of the things, as we were looking at the history of revivals in Central and Eastern Europe, the one that pops out the most is the Moravians. As we looked into it, we researched and studied that. One of the things that just kept pounding at us is they were sold out people willing to do what God asked them to do, but they were spending time really praying on behalf of their missionaries, on behalf of unbelievers that need to know Christ in their country. And so the leadership, we were praying about it, said, how can this affect us as Josiah Venture? How can we mobilize our team? And Josiah Venture looks at our team as not just the people that are serving here, but we have people that are praying for us, they're giving, and they're fellow
partners
in this ministry. They're co-laborers.
Yeah, we get that.
How can we set something up that the entire staff, the entire labor group of Josiah Venture can be praying for the ministry here? And so we've come up with this online prayer tower, prayer wall, prayer place, prayer room that's virtual, that I think is extremely exciting because people from all over the world can sign up for an hour of prayer anytime they want to. And our goal is to see this whole year that we've done a 24-hour chain for 365 days with all the people that have a heart for Central and Eastern Europe.
Well, we can attest to that prayer room being amazing. We spent time there last night, actually, and were just overwhelmed with not only the beauty of the visual of it, but the in-depth leadership in leading us through praying for Josiah Venture and the missionaries on the field. Specific prayer requests that were posted for specific people, and we were able to pray not only by request, but by name. And that was so beautiful to be part of. For us, it was just a great experience to know that we are joining with you across the world in prayer. And we know, as believers, that's how our hearts connect through prayer. And we can connect with you, Mel and Amy, thousands of miles away just by praying for you in specific requests. It was beautiful.
It was a more than worthwhile investment you made.
Yeah.
We, as a ministry, need to learn from you about this, about how to activate our people and let them into that prayer room together with us in a more immediate way. Because we have lots of people that are praying for us around the clock, too, and believe in what we're doing. I think about all of the bricks. I know that Christian David and his people probably prayed over every single one of those bricks and blocks that they laid to build that prayer tower as a place of safety and refuge and a power. For me, that's the first tower of power. That place was where God was doing stuff. And you have erected something with technological bricks to enable many, many people to come into this room and participate together and hand the baton one to another, hour after hour, to perpetuate this incredible legacy that the Moravians have given to us. I'm just grateful to you for that.
I think one of the things we as an organization is we lift our eyes and see that the fields are ripe for harvest. We don't want to be content with where we are. We never want to be content and say, we're doing okay. And be okay with the status quo. We want to keep asking God for more. And we know that the only way we're going to see more fruit, which is one of the things we're begging him for and asking him, what can we do to see more fruit in these countries, is we have to cover it in prayer. We need it to be empowered and energized by prayer. And so we have all committed as a team to doing the hard work of praying as well as sharing the gospel and serving, because we know that more fruit is not going to come apart from that. And the Lord has to be in it.
As believers, sometimes we say, oh, well, what can I do? I can't do anything. Well, I'll just pray. But we need to get it in our minds that that's our first line of defense.
Amen.
Offense, even. That's the first step that we need to take. Not can I bring a dish for your dinner, which is a great thing. Not can I buy gas for your car, which is another great thing. But can I pray? Will I pray? That is our first line of offense. And we need to be about that as believers, as the church, making that a priority.
Now, Amy, as this program goes to air, you'll be deeply embedded into a very important work. And a lot of projects are kind of coming together at the same time. It's one of the reasons you asked us to be praying specifically about what's going on in Eastern Europe right now. So tell us, if you could, about what's happening during this particular calendar week.
Well, during this calendar week, we have a group of, we call them our second culture missionary wives and women. They are all serving cross-culturally. Many of them have children who attend national schools. They are firmly embedded in the communities that they're serving in and immersed in. So this is our week to really invest in them. A lot of them hold down the fort while husbands serve and travel. And so this is a time to pull them out of that and refresh their spirits, invest in them. We spend time in the Word. But this week is really dedicated to prayer as women. And so we will be spending hours and hours doing battle on our knees. We all know it's going to be hard work, but we are committed to really fighting hard on behalf of our brothers and sisters. I keep thinking of the passage in Nehemiah that talks about, and fight for your homes and your brothers and your sisters and your husbands, and take a stand on the wall, one hand ready to work and one hand ready to pray and watch. And so that's what we're committing to do for this week as we come together, and we're believing God for great things from that. But we're also experiencing some significant spiritual pushback from it. We are having to take a firm stand and not let the enemy get in.
You have just spoken my heart language right there. You're talking about women and prayer. And I think there's nothing more powerful than a group of women, I'll say, because I'm one, but a group of women joined together with one heart, one spirit, one purpose, on their knees, praying for the people they love and for the people they want to see impact the world And I am going to tell you, Amy, I am all over this. I'm going to encourage our listeners to be praying for Amy right now as she leads these women in prayer, because the enemy does not want this to happen. The enemy does not want them to be on their knees. He wants to prevent at all costs what's happening right now.
As much as we've been praying leading up to the events you're involved with as this program is airing, we've been praying that the devil would not be able to prevent them from getting there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God would deliver them to your care into that safe tower so that the work can begin. And Mel, I got to say, is it not a scary thing when your wife discovers the power of prayer?
Oh, boy. What that often means is a lot of work. But like you said before, Bram, it's a lot of fruit that's born because of it. And so we're excited about all the things that are coming down the road. While Amy's at the women's conference, I'll be hosting a Global Youth Initiative conference in Malinovice, Czech Republic, where like organizations to Josiah Venture from Asia, South America, Australia, Africa, and the U.S. are coming together for a forum. And we're actually going to talk about what's happened through the Moravian movement and how that can affect our ministries and what can we do to really step out and reach more and more young people for Christ. So we'd really appreciate your prayers for that.
I can't imagine why the devil would want to push back against that. Good grief. So the two of you are doing some incredible work right now as this program is airing. So friends, please be praying for Mel and Amy, Ellen Wood, the whole family there, as they're doing incredible work. God's doing incredible work through them, and they're enabling and encouraging and edifying leaders from all over the world, apparently, to go take this heritage and this legacy and this effectual work back to where they live. And that work, again, starts with prayer. It doesn't end with it.
Amen. Amen.
I'm thrilled about all this. Okay. Well, I cannot break up this conversation, folks. We got to come back and do more on this, because there's so much more I could tell that's behind or underneath the surface of all this. So let's explore that again on the next program. Would you be willing to stay with us?
Oh, yeah. We'd love to.
Okay. Thanks again, guys. Mel and Amy Ellenwood of Josiah Venture in Eastern Europe, currently based in the Czech Republic.
Our thanks again to Mel and Amy from Josiah Adventure for joining us today. Be sure to listen in as they join us for our Friday broadcast tomorrow. Well, before we close things out for today, I wanted to share some brief words from our March Compassion Radio newsletter written by our very own Cher Nelson about the new voice on Compassion Radio. She writes, "Friends, I hope now you can see why we believe this ministry has passed into the right hands. We know it will be a challenge adjusting to a new voice and feeling as much at home with Bram as you did with Norm. But it was the same way when Wilbur retired and Norm was the new voice on the broadcast. I hope to be back in the studio with Bram soon, but I feel my commitment to be alongside Norm right now takes precedence. I hope you understand. Thank you for all the prayer support you have poured over us. We feel the strong arms of the Lord upholding us, and we know that it is a result of your compassionate prayer. Let's do new and important things together this year." And that's from Cher. Bram?
Friends, I wanted to bring attention to our special premium offer this month. It's our gift to you for your gift of any size to support the Ministry of Compassion Radio. And this being our anniversary month, we definitely need to see people step up and help us begin that process of planning for great new projects and great new ministry all around the world. So we need you, friends. And this special book called The Case for Easter is a blockbuster in a lot of ways. It's not a hard read. In fact, it's a fairly slim little volume, but it's going to bring a very powerful argument for the power and the reality of the resurrection, especially at a time of year where people are open to discuss these kind of topics.
I'm excited to read this book myself because of our recent trip to Orlando, Florida for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, where they showed the movie A Case for Christ. And watching that film brought about a lot of emotion for me. It was a very beautiful film. It was very real and honest. I loved it. I really hope that our listeners will make an effort to go and see this film when it comes out.
And it's going to be talked about a lot in the media in the weeks to come. Now, I've got to say that I've not been a real fan of Christian films over the years, but they've improved greatly in the past 2 or 3 years. Now, this film, my friends, is on par with the finest dramas you've seen out of Hollywood. ever.
Absolutely.
I'm really stunned about the quality of the acting and of the directing of this film. It is genuine, it is heartfelt, and it's going to make a big impact. Now, this book, again, is an excerpt from the investigation that Lee Strobel did into the reality of the resurrection. And this little pamphlet is going to be something you're going to want to have in hand leading up to Easter, especially when questions come up from friends or family who go to see this film.
You're going to want to have this pamphlet in your hands to give out to friends of yours or people that you know that are questioning the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Lee Strobel, as Bram said, has done an amazing job of investigative journalism into the truths of Jesus' death and resurrection.
As we prepare for Easter being April 16th this year, we wanted to make sure to get this in your hands in time for the release of the film and for the Easter season coming up. So friends, please, as you support Compassion Radio this month, we'd love to send you a copy of this book by Lee Strobel, The Case for Easter. So order yours today.
Thank you, Bram and Sandy Floria. Reach us by phone by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're always there for you online at CompassionRadio.com. You can give there safe and secure. CompassionRadio.com. And that phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of Bram Floria, Norman Cher Nelson, and the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.